Is an elephant a person? For many, of course, the answer is a clear no. But many animal rights advocates believe that animals, including elephants, should receive legal protection similar to humans. In a trial now underway in the New York Court of Appeals, advocates are suing on behalf of Miss Happy, a 51-year-old elephant. They're arguing for her personhood and want her freed from the Bronx Zoo and transferred to an animal sanctuary. Here to discuss this case and its implications is author and Harvard historian Jill Lepore. Jill, good to be with you.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about Happy the Elephant and this specific case, which is brought by the Florida-based Non-Human Rights Project. This group wants basically a court to grant personhood to this elephant.
So Happy was born in the wild in Thailand and was captured as a baby. She was less than a year old and imported to the United States with a bunch of other baby elephants. They were named after the Seven Dwarfs. They were brought to the U.S. by Lion Country Safari, which was a sort of kind of Busch Garden slash Disney World animal adventure site. And as they aged, they were moved around. And in 1977, she and Grumpy, one of the other so-called Seven Dwarfs, were brought to the Bronx Zoo. But the Non-Human Rights Project chose Happy as the client in this case to try to advance the argument for personhood. They chose Happy in particular because she is alone. There's another elephant at the zoo, but they are separated. And she's in what is by now, these standards, quite a small enclosure. And also because Happy was the first elephant to pass a cognition test known as the mirror self-recognition test. She can look into a mirror and it can be proven that she knows that she's looking at herself. There's like a lot of popular sentiment around the suffering of elephants because of the ways in which elephants are social and tender and have memories and attachments and abilities to communicate.
Right, right. Jill, I know that you visited Happy. What was your impression about her condition? And what does the Bronx Zoo say about Happy's care?
She's in a very small enclosure. Elephants are extremely social. She is alone. She has a number of indicators of stress, the way she sort of shifts her feet, the way she sways, this kinds of restlessness. But, you know, I'm no expert there. And the Bronx Zoo has depositions of the veterinarians who have treated her. They say the keepers know what's best for her. The curator of the zoo, the director of the zoo say that Happy doesn't get along with other elephants. And my approach in considering the case really has been essentially as a biographer. I went and did a kind of deep investigation of the story of Happy's life and what has happened to her at each stage of her life, what it was like when she was captured, what those conditions were, who was doing the capturing in Thailand at the time, what the mode of transportation was, how the will of baby elephants is broken, what it means to be separated from your mother as a baby elephant. Female elephants never leave their mothers their whole lives. So to be taken from your mother at age one, probably having seen your mother killed. So really, her life story is a story of tremendous tragedy and loss and violence and deprivation. That's the condition of most elephants in most zoos. The Bronx Zoo is a very good and responsible zoo. I think people who make the argument that Happy doesn't belong there would also say that no elephant belongs in a zoo.
Right.
But in fact, the claim that Happy is a person is a really important legal argument that needs to be taken seriously regarding, is there any way, any set of legal strategies that could possibly halt mass extinction and global climate change by way of not just giving humans protections from the decay of their environment, but actually granting rights to the natural world. And that, to me, is what the story really is about and why it is so important.
One more question, because I'm so intrigued by this detail. Some legal scholars have pointed out an important connection between this case, a habeas corpus case arguing for the personhood of an elephant, and habeas corpus cases filed a long time ago on behalf of enslaved people. Can you explain that connection?
Yeah, so habeas cases or freedom suits were a hugely important political tool during the abolitionist movement and the anti-slavery movement in the 18th century. People held in bondage filed habeas cases and said, we are unlawfully held as prisoners. And it was a habeas case that ended slavery in England in the 1770s in a ruling in an English court that is much cited by the Non-Human Rights Project. And it was, I will tell you, haunting to be in Albany in this courthouse hearing these arguments in a building where the flags on the roof were at half-mast because of the massacre in Buffalo by white supremacists who deny basic rights to people who aren't white. So the rights that humans have here and certainly around the world are not well defended or universally enforced. So I think there are plenty of critics who would find it hard to imagine making this move with so many humans denied their full and equal rights.
Well, it's a fascinating story. That's author and Harvard historian Jill Lepore talking about the case of Happy the Elephant and whether she should be granted personhood. Jill Lepore, thank you so much for talking to us about this.
Thank you.